have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what they're wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. The biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy. The biblical question, did you find God or did he find you? Did you find God or did he find you? Amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And you can listen to the show live on your iPhone, iPad, doing whatever it is you're doing. You can podcast if you don't have the time to just sit and watch it. You can podcast as well, but you can listen live by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate, and you can podcast too, remember. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk and Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. So it is Thursday already, again. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas. And we appreciate the gifts, the packages that you're sending, the gifts and things. Thank you so much. Amazing. Appreciate it. So for those who are tuning in for the first time, Bible Thumper Thursday, we set aside, we take our call, but we set aside Thursday for the Bible Thumpers. We take their calls first, right? And the reason for those who are tuning in for the first time, it's very difficult communicating with Bible Thumpers. They mean well, and we love the Bible Thumpers. And so we set a little time, a day aside, so that we can communicate with them a little bit longer. Because when you try to communicate with the Bible Thumpers, it's difficult because they only have scriptures lined up in their imagination, in their intellect, and they all they're doing is just ready to quote another scripture rather than communicate or question or communicate the first scripture that they mention or Bible idea that they mention or God idea. And so we try to, since we love the Bible Thumpers too, like everybody else, we try to set aside the time. So every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Why do Christians raise their hands during worship?
If you see people living in victory and joy just exudes from them, you know it's because something has happened down deep.
But I remember the first time I lifted my hands in church.
I remember the first time I ever lifted my hands in worship.
We clap our hands because the Bible says to clap your hands, all you people.
Oh,
and it says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So let's just try this, everybody.
Bible Thumper Thursday. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, with the voice of triumph. Amazing. Bible Thumper Thursday. Very emotional, very intellectual. And it's interesting that lifting your hands and raising your voice with triumph does nothing but make you feel good for a moment. While you're lifting your hands and crying and hooping and hollering, and then you go home and cry. You're lonely, you're angry, you're lost. But you lift your hands unto God, and you don't question. If I'm lifting my hands unto God, I did it, and I yelled out, and I did the voice saying, why is it that I still don't have peace? Why is it I'm not getting better? They don't even question it. What a sad way to live. But I understand it in that they can't see their loss. They have intellectually confused everything that Christ talked about with the physical, with the intellect and the physical, and they have missed the spirit of what he was talking about. But I keep saying I understand. I sound like a liberal. But anyway, it's Bible Thump and Thursday, 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. I've said this before, is that there is zero love in the world today. And there's zero love. No love. And it's destroying human beings because human beings have no love. Have you paid attention to what's happening in you and around you? There's nothing but hate, nothing but anger, no love. It is hell on earth. And because there is no love, there is nothing but trouble. There's trouble in the land, nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble and unhappiness and fear and doubt and worry and loneliness, suicidal thoughts, depression, vengeance. Everybody want revenge, gossiping, no love, nothing but hate. And the one thing, and then we mentioned this before, but the one thing, the two things that God demanded that we do, if we want to be free, is that we must love one another, even our enemies, and that we must forgive. And the last thing human beings do and want to do is forgive. Not understanding. Not understanding that forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven within. Because there is no other way. Unless you forgive, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Before you forgive, before you enter in, you must go and forgive. You're not going to enter into the kingdom in your darkness. And unforgiveness is darkness. And the last thing human beings want to do is forgive. I'm not going to forgive you. What are you talking about? They judge with their mind, thoughts, their eyes, their words, their gestures, their emotions. And I challenge you to look up and down the earth, finding a person who has truly forgiven is like looking for a saved person. They will not, is not, ain't not, not going to forgive. Even though in Matthew 6:14, it's in the word. If we forgive the failures of others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You're not going to be forgiven until you forgive. If we forgive the failures of others, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you, forgive your failures. It ain't going to happen. You're locked into hell. You're locked into a miserable life. And there are people who are starting to hear the message of forgiveness, and they're starting to do it, and their lives are starting to change. You hear it all the time here. They are starting to forgive mama and daddy. I was talking to a young lady yesterday in counseling, and she was talking about how in the South, you were trained to honor your parents, meaning that you have to take care of them, you have to bring them to live with you if they're sick and out of it, and blah, blah, blah. Even though they don't want to do it, it's like honor your parents. That's not honoring your parents, folks. Honor your parents meaning don't resent them. Forgive them. They could not help themselves. They know not what to do. What they do, they did not have love to raise you with. They were blind and could not see. And that's what it means. It doesn't mean you're obligated to them at all. Because feeling obligated to anyone or anything is not love. You're doing it out of guilt, and guilt is not love. But if you had forgiveness, if you had love, you will help if you want to help. If you don't help, you're fine. If you do, you're fine. And that's what love is. So there's no love on earth. In families, in relationships, husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, friends, relationship, co-workers, family, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, son. There's no love. Nothing but control. You can always tell when a person don't have love, they're trying to control you. They go out of their way to try to make you be and do what they want you to be and do. And they get angry, and they want to fight if you don't do it. But you got to forgive if you want to be forgiven. If not, stay in your hell. Stay in your misery. You can read the Bible till the cows come home. You can lift up holy hands and shout until the moon drops or until hell freezes over, and you're still going to be right in your hell because you refuse to forgive. You refuse to stop judging. You refuse to drop your anger. And I've said over and over and over again, I've said over and over and over and over again and again and again. There's never, ever, I want you to really think about it. It's Bible Thumper Thursday. I want you to really think about this. There's never, ever, but never, 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 never a reason to be angry. And people say, well, what about if something happened to your child? That's not a reason to be angry. Well, what about this and what about that? They're in hell talking about what abouts. If there's never, ever, ever a reason to be angry, why are you doing what abouts? Why not just say, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I like that. There's never, I don't care what situation happens out there, inside of you or outside. There's never, ever, ever a reason to be angry. An angry person is a lost person. An angry person is an evil person. An angry person loves misery. The up and down feeling of misery, they call the up feeling is a miserable feeling, too, by the way. That's why it doesn't last. So I want to know, speaking of forgiveness, if this situation were to happen to you, and you don't know it to happen, how you're going to deal with it, but if it were to happen, for conversation's sake, would you forgive this woman? This is from NBC6. A Hollandale Beach, Florida woman was arrested in a bizarre incident involving her allegedly picking up a 3-year-old from his backyard and is now facing a kidnapping charge. Watch this from NBC6.
Hey, Chris, you're going to see this body-worn camera and the interaction police had with the suspect in this case. As you said, she told officers she was trying to help because she thought the boy was lost. Police didn't believe her.
Pamela Monslave, seen on police body camera footage being arrested. Before this, though, she tries to explain why she allegedly took a little boy out of his backyard.
He was outside. He was naked. He was naked with a shirt and his everything was naked. And I asked for the people around to call police, and nobody would call police.
Police didn't buy her story and charged her with a crime.
Everything that she said didn't make sense as to there was no reason for her to take this child. She doesn't know the child, has no relationship with the family whatsoever. So it was just not something that we would normally see or that of a normal individual.
It happened at a trailer park community near Hallandale Beach Boulevard and I-95. The police report says Monslave was seen reaching over a fence in a fully enclosed backyard, picking up a minor 3 years of age that was playing outside and removing him from the backyard of his home. In court, she tried to defend herself. Police say several neighbors saw Monslave with the child and approached her. Then she put the boy down. Then neighbors called police, who, after questioning Monslave, arrested her and charged her with kidnapping.
Make sure you pay attention to your kids, your surroundings. Make sure you know your neighbors and your neighbors know you. This is an example of know thy neighbor. And those neighbors were able to help prevent this child from being permanently taken.
Amazing. Would you forgive that woman if she tried to take your child? Or would you be angry about it? Or would you be angry about it? And remember, there's never, ever, 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 but never, ever, ever a reason to be angry. And people say, well, anger is defense. You need anger to protect yourself. That's a lie. But you need angry to be motivated. That's another lie. It's amazing how evil people defend evil. Evil people defend evil. Evil people make up reasons to be angry. What about this? What about if you're a boxer in a ring? You need to be angry to be a good fighter. No, you don't. Matter of fact, you'll be the best fighter by not being angry, because you'll be conscious and you will be aware of what you're doing. And the awareness can help you win. Whomever have told you that anger is good, they were your enemy. And if you notice, people who have anger, they have no peace. And they say, well, and I'm like, well, why don't you have peace? Well, I'm only human. It's not possible to have peace. I'm going to have peace when we get to heaven. You don't even know you're going to heaven. You're in hell. How are you going to go to heaven? You haven't gone through hell yet. How will you make it to heaven if you don't go through hell? Think about that one. There's some crazy people out there, right? This woman been accused of reaching across the yard at somebody else's child and taking it and then lying and saying she's doing it because whatever she said. And that's because people are angry and on drugs and high and drunk and everything now. And that's how your government want you. That's how your government want you. They control you like that. The drug dealer control you. The sex dealer control you. The anger control you. And you're out of control. And it's a mess. A real mess. One that quick other soundbite, and then I get to your phone calls and super chats here. There's this guy. I want to know how react. I want you to react to this man's family and defending him. What a mess. This is Fox 4. A federal judge ordered a man to remain behind bars just weeks after parishioners of a Dallas church locked the door to prevent him from entering with a gun. Watch this first soundbite from Fox 4.
A federal judge ordered a man to remain behind bars just weeks after parishioners at a Dallas church locked the door to prevent him from entering with a gun.
FBI agents dug through old records and charged the man in connection with a fatal 2022 shooting. Until those charges, he was free from custody, but police closely watched him. Fox 4's David Centenary has all the details. David.
Yeah, police records reveal that the gunman regularly attended the church that he tried to walk into, allegedly, with that tactical rifle. In newly obtained police and court records, officials say Russell Allen Ragsdale Jr. stood from his front row seat at St. Augustine Catholic Church in Dallas's Pleasant Grove neighborhood on November 2nd and approached the priest, embraced him, and kissed him on both cheeks before giving the priest a note reading, "May peace be with you." Then Ragsdale allegedly went to his car, put on a black and white poncho, and grabbed a tactical rifle. Police say he closed the gates to the parking lot before trying to re-enter the church while 100 people were inside. Parishioners, however, locked the doors to keep him from getting in, and a man outside convinced Ragsdale to put the rifle on the ground until police arrived. According to Dallas police records obtained by Fox 4, the man who talked Ragsdale into dropping the weapon believes he may have wanted to shoot people at the church.
Amazing. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. And here's what the man's girlfriend told the police. Here's what the man's girlfriend told the police and what federal investigator found in his phone. Watch this.
If convicted, Ragsdale's girlfriend told police he was drunk and having emotional issues. Ragsdale was charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct, but federal investigators discovered he was charged with a 2022 murder of his roommate in Seagoville. That murder charge was dismissed, as Ragsdale claimed the shooting was self-defense. At the time, Seagoville police seized a pistol, shotgun, and rifle. Now, federal investigators examining his phone say there's evidence of a history of drug use dating back to 2021, as well as evidence of Ragsdale purchasing and using hallucinogenic mushrooms in the hours before the fatal 2022 shooting. For that, he's charged with felony possession of a firearm by an unlawful user of a controlled substance.
Amazing. And your government want drugs to be free for you. Do your government love you? And why do you obey your government when they tell you you can have pot, you have drugs, it's a free needle? What's wrong with you? Is it break time? Oh, the clock is off again, right? What? Okay, let me take a quick break. When I come back, there's one other soundbite to that story, and your phone calls are super chats. Back in a moment.
I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you for a few years now, and when you talk about the illusion of racism and how it's just a divisive tool that the media uses, and it's just good and evil.
Yes.
And that's what we got to focus on. It really has changed my life. My perspective is totally different now. I'm more calm. I'm more peaceful. You know, when you talk about forgiving your mother and letting go of that hate, and it just transforms you. So I just want to thank you for that and let you know that, you know, you really are doing God's work by waking people up with this message.
Amazing, Aaron. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Sure. I can hear the angels in heaven singing right now. They're rejoicing. That's amazing. Stay with the silent prayer. Speak up. Don't resent and doubt every thought. And Aaron, you have not seen anything. Anything. Merry Christmas, folks. It is Christmas season. We have a sale on at the Bond. It's still happening for this month. You got time to order your stuff and get it to you. 2 weeks, Christmas will be here. Excuse me. Two weeks, Christmas will be here. So order your merch, your books, and everything. We have slow mail. We have DEI mail. So you order now, you may have it in 2 weeks. Maybe. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, and check out the Bond holiday sale. 15% off on all merch this month. Go to rebuildingtheman.com/store, and I will sign the books to whomever you like. Amazing books. My books are amazing. And a brand new episode of The Fallen State. This tomorrow, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, a brand new episode of The Fallen State. I had a very interesting discussion with Dakari Lariat, a former Whirlpool executive and self-proclaimed police brutality survivor. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
You were allegedly a victim of a so-called police brutality, right?
It was 2 hours of terror. There was obvious homophobia. When the troopers came to my car, made note that he smelled something fruity. That is a form of slavery. I was shackled.
You asked for $10 million.
For me, it's not about the money, Jesse.
What is wrong with the blast?
That's a whole that is a whole series. That's not even one episode.
Amazing. $10 million. That's a whole lot of police brutality. That's enough police brutality to last you a lifetime. $2 million worth. What? No. The Fallen State this Friday at 12 noon. And support the Fallen State right there. TheFallenState.tv/donate or locals.com. All right. My friend just texted me and told me that, speaking of anger, Muhammad Ali didn't have anger. And he was the greatest of all times. I don't know if Muhammad Ali did not have anger. Where you get that idea from, friend? Where you get that from? What the? Anyway, so let me know where you got this idea that Muhammad Ali did not have anger. One last to this soundbite where this man has been accused. Of going in, or attempted or thinking about going, allegedly going into the church and hurting people. According to a reporter, the man's mother believed this was all a misunderstanding. Watch this.
If convicted, Ragsdale faces up to 15 years in a federal prison. Now, according to the federal complaint that we obtained, Dallas police officers have been conducting surveillance on Ragsdale throughout the past month, just monitoring him, different places that he's going. I did have an opportunity to speak with Ragsdale's mother just about an hour ago. She contacted me after I had reached out to their family. She's saying that she believes this is all a misunderstanding. She does not believe that her son wanted to cause any sort of harm to anyone, and that he has the full support of her family.
And when, according to the story, when he went out and got his gun out the trunk and tried to come back into the church, he was just playing. That was a misunderstanding. When he kissed the priest on both cheeks and gave him a note and said, God be with you or something, he was just playing. He went back and got his gun because out of the trunk, because it was a misunderstanding. A mother love is just so special. A mother love will stay with you until the day you die. No room for God's love. Would you forgive that man? What do you think about that story? Now can you see hell is unearthed? You're wondering, I'm afraid to go to hell. I'm afraid to die. Because I don't want to go to hell. You're already in hell. Wake up. You're in hell already. And the two little things that God said for us to do were three. To love him with all of heart, soul, and might. Forgive and to love even your enemy. And you refuse to even do that. How are you going to do the rest if you can't do that? Well, I can't do that. There's no talking to you. I'm so sad that you're leaving. I'm so sad, can't believe it. But what am I supposed to do? Well, I can't do that. There's no talking to you. Amazing. Let me go to Jim, a first-time caller out of Nevada. Jim, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Jesse. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, first of all, congratulations to our number 47 Trump. Happy to have him back, right?
Daddy is home.
Daddy is home.
Man, amazing.
Great times. Great times.
The great white hope.
Absolutely. Hey, Jesse, I just had a question for you. I was curious your perspective. I love listening to your show. Love your outlook on so many things. And I've been someone who's been told I live a very Christ-like lifestyle. I've always treated people with kindness and try to treat people how I want to be treated. My wife is very religious, but I've never been able to grasp it. Like, I've never been able to grasp that an actual God exists. What would you say to, like, someone like me who just, I'd like to live a good lifestyle, I just can't actually grasp onto God?
When you say grasp on him, what do you mean?
I have a hard time acknowledging that something like that exists.
And so how are you able to live this amazing life if it's not from God?
I don't know. How is that the only way you can live that way?
Well, I don't know. When you say you try to be kind to others, you say that?
Yeah, I like to treat people how I want to be treated.
And how is that?
Be good to my fellow man. Be honest with people. If I see someone getting hurt, I stand up for them and protect them. I protect my wife and, support my family.
Where did you get the idea that you're supposed to stand up for other people?
It felt natural.
Where did you get that idea that that was the right thing to do, though?
I don't know.
But you could get killed. You could get hurt. You could get put in jail for standing up for other people. Where did you get the idea that it was the right thing to do?
I guess that's the question, right? It just seems to come natural.
What do you mean by natural?
Well, I think I might know where you're heading.
Where am I heading?
I think you're heading to where that comes from God.
That's not from God.
What's that from?
Hell.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that?
Because you're helping people that don't even want help. And the only reason, and the reason you're doing it is that you're getting a thrill from it. It feels good to you, and because it feels good, then you call it good. I'm being nice or kind or whatever. But when it feels bad, then you blame the other people, and you say they didn't appreciate what I did.
You know, I wouldn't say that I do good by people in the sense of, like, you see the crazy people out there, the crazy activists about, you know, trans activists, things like that, and trying to just stand up for a random cause. It's just, if I see, maybe, I guess I'd say I'd be the type of person, rather than holding a video camera watching a fight happening, I'd be the one breaking it up, kind of thing.
Why?
well, because you don't want to see anybody get really hurt.
Why not?
I guess I don't know.
What if most people love being hurt? That's why they get in fights, and that's why they do what they do. They want to be hurt. Why would you interfere with what they want?
Would you think that automatically that both parties want to be hurt?
Otherwise, they wouldn't be fighting if they didn't want to be hurt.
I guess you got a point. Yeah, I don't know, Jesse.
And when you say, did you say the idea of how to grasp God?
Yeah, like the actual existence of him.
And you say you're married to a woman who believes in God?
Oh, yeah.
What is that like?
It's great. She's a great woman.
Does she obey you?
Yeah.
Your wife obey you?
Oh, yeah. And, she... Hey, I tell you what, and on top of all that, she's Mexican, became a citizen, and she voted for Papa Trump for her first election this year. She was so proud.
Are you white?
I am.
And you married a Mexican?
I did.
Why?
Because I loved her.
You couldn't find a white woman to love?
I guess none of that really matters to me. I just met her, and she was great. But I think
so. You're white, and all these white women in the world, you can find one.
I wouldn't say I was looking.
Oh,
I ran into her, and she comes from a lot of those. I think what I'd say a little bit more of the old school American values, and
was
a lot easier
illegal?
Of a woman to deal with.
Was she illegal?
She when she was originally here, she overstayed a visa,
so
had to go through the.
She was illegal.
She was for a short time.
Until you married her.
I married her, and we went through all the process of getting her legal here, and it took a few years. We took care of it the right way, and there was a real possibility we were going to maybe have to leave to Mexico, but.
And you would have done all that to be with a woman.
To be with this woman.
But why would you get a white woman? You wouldn't have to go through all that.
you go through a whole lot of other stuff with a lot of white women.
So it's easier to deal with a Mexican woman than it is to deal with a white woman?
Well, it's easier to deal with a woman with these old, a little bit more traditional values.
And white women don't have traditional values?
A lot of them don't, that I found growing up and in high school and my generation. It seemed like a lot of them didn't, but I think it was just by chance. I'm sure there are. I just happened to meet this gal, and she, regardless of where she come from or Mexican, white or whatever, and we just shared similar, values and interests.
The real reason you married her and went through all that hell to get her legalized and everything is because you couldn't handle the hell in the white woman, and you thought, maybe if I get away from a white woman and get me this Mexican woman who have a little bit more traditional values, then things would work. You couldn't handle the white woman. What the?
Jesse, I'd have been happy to have it in any woman.
But you couldn't find it in a white woman, though.
Not in the ones I had dated, no.
Right. That's why you went through hell to get this Mexican woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Amazing.
That's true.
But
amazing.
Anyway, as far as the idea of grasping God, you can't grasp God. You can't have an idea about God and know him. If you really want to know God, you have to let go of this idea of knowing him or even wanting to know him. Then you shall know him. Because the problem with Christians is that they only have ideas about God, what they read about him, what they heard about him. They quote the scriptures, and they think that, and then they went down to the front of the church and accepted Jesus, confessed with their mouth, right? But they only have ideas, and ideas keep you away from knowing God. The best way to know God is to not know him, to not have any ideas about him at all.
And then how do you get that faith?
By not knowing God. And you know what? Faith. Weak people have faith. Ideal people have faith about God. But you want to know him. My children shall know me by my voice. You want to know him. You don't want faith about him. You want to know him.
I appreciate it, Jesse. I appreciate what you talk about, and I appreciate you taking time this morning to talk to me.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Sure. I didn't know you'd bring that one on me today.
Have you forgiven your mother?
I guess I would say what you hear a lot. I didn't know I had to.
Have you forgiven your mother?
No.
So you lie. You say, yeah. And then you say, I didn't know it. And now you're saying no. Why didn't you say yes and all that? Why didn't you just say, no, I have not forgiven her?
You know, I've heard you ask that question a lot, and I'm not sure really what I have to forgive of my mother.
The way she treated you and turning you away from your father, being too mothery or too dominating in your life, too controlling. That's why you married a Mexican woman, because you hate your mother and you wanted to get away from the white woman. Because you're trying to get away from the spirit of your mother, not realizing you still married your mother when you married that Mexican woman from Mexico. It's still a mama.
I guess that's something I got to work on.
Why don't you forgive her? What would happen if you forgave your mother?
Oh, she'd be great. She'd be cool with it.
But why don't you go and forgive her for what she's done to you?
I think it's hard for me to see that she's done anything wrong.
Was she perfect?
I get what you're saying. Go ahead.
Was she perfect?
No, I don't think so.
Did she make any mistakes?
Sure.
Like what, for an example?
Things
that were irritating you about her, things that you wish you didn't do or say, whatever. What? Give me one small example.
You know, I think we all make mistakes. I can't think back.
How about your mama? Give me one small example of your mama.
That's hard. Mom was a good mom. It's hard for me to think of.
You can't think of one thing she did wrong.
I'd have to think about it, Jesse.
So you got to think about one thing Mama did, right? Wrong.
Yeah.
And how about father? Did you forgive your father?
Yeah, I think I forgave my dad.
You told him?
I never had a chance to tell him.
Why?
But I think I felt like it was implied.
Why you never had a chance to tell him?
He's not here anymore.
Where is he?
No, he's dead.
He's dead.
He did. Yeah, he's gone.
What one thing your father did wrong?
You know, it would have been nice to have more time with him when I was a young kid and they were divorced.
That's the only thing he did wrong?
Oh, God, I'm sure he does other things wrong, but
so
that's the first
thing
that comes
to mind.
So why
are you so sure that your father did wrong, but not your mother?
I wouldn't say I'm sure about that. Mom could have been involved in that, too.
She was.
Yeah.
I guarantee you she was.
Yeah, I hear you.
And you need to forgive her for running your dad off and keeping him away from you.
I got you. I think I can do that.
But you need to see it for yourself, not just because I said it, all right?
No, I got you. I got you. I appreciate it.
But in closing, if you want to know God, don't think about him.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate it, Jesse.
All
and
right.
Yeah, we can say this again. Have a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Merry Christmas and congratulations on the great white hope.
Likewise. Thanks, Jesse. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Alec out of Florida. Alec,
hey, Jess.
Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How's it going?
All is well.
So I had a question for you. Can I tell you a quick story so the question will make a little more sense?
Okay.
So basically, yeah, I grew up without religion. So, you know, I get older, whatever. I kind of turn into a mess person living in the world, drinking, smoking. And then I randomly came across your show. Was like, oh, this is interesting. And then just basically started doing the silent prayer and then found God one day and then moved to Florida to restart my life as a Christian and just, you know, started trying to learn from God because I don't know, I didn't really know what I was doing or how to be a Christian. And it was amazing and all this stuff. And then so basically everything's good. And then I meet this girl at church and then I thought oh, this girl reads at the church. So she's going to be good or whatever. So I'll be safe. Cause I wasn't speaking to women for almost 2 years. Cause I don't know. I mean, basically I just didn't want to be tempted to sleep with one or something.
Right.
So I was oh, this one will be safe. You know, she reads at the church and then basically, we go out for the first time, and then she just, pretty much tries to, sleep with me. So I say no, whatever, and I go, and I meet with my priest. I'm like, oh, this, you know, I met this girl. She's nice and everything, but she tried to do this, and he's like, oh, well, don't do it. Tell her that you can't do it. Just sit her down. So I sit her down, tell her, I'm like, oh, we can't mess around or anything. We just got to get to know each other. And she says, oh, no, I'm not doing that. and then I was like, okay. And then... So I keep talking to her because I'm too weak and she was hot or whatever. And then and then one day I started to have sex with her, but then I stopped because I felt guilty. And then, yeah, so basically that's what happened. And then my question is, so I heard you say basically once you forgive and you know, become a Christian or whatever, you're not supposed to sin anymore. So, am I, still messed up since I, still sinned? And, you know what I'm saying by that?
Yeah, I understand. Can you hold for me?
Yeah, for sure.
Let me take a quick break. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. So, my friend texted me about Muhammad, why he believed he did not have anger. I'll tell you about that when I come back as well. Hate news, not the fake news. Back in a moment. I read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisement from Google or whomever, right? Because so many conservatives are being shut down, discriminated against, shadow banned, and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I'm just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingdemand.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny. And also, we have thefallenstate.tv. Ring the bell.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Thursday, December 12th, 2024 AD. Happy Bible Thumper Thursday, everybody. The lines are full. JLP will be right back to your calls. But first, fake news, not fake news. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports in the coming hours, and it may already have happened, Time Magazine, far-left extremist Time Magazine, is expected to name President-elect Donald J. Trump as 2024 Person of the Year. Man of the Year is what it really is. Person of the Year. Other contenders on the shortlist included so-called Vice President Cackling Kamala Harris. Oh, Lord. Princess of Wales Kate Middleton. And billionaire Elon Musk. And also Israeli Prime Minister based Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu. But Trump won it. And there is an FBI shakeup. Speaking of Trump, FBI Director Christopher Wray, whom many wanted Trump to fire for years now, will resign at the end of the Biden administration, the crooked Joe Biden administration. The agency said that on Wednesday, as it became clear he would be forced out by President-elect Donald J. Trump. In a Truth Social post, Trump celebrated Ray's decision to resign, calling it a great day for America, indeed. And when Trump first chose Christopher Wray to lead the FBI, so-called, in 2017, the two were on so-called good terms. But the relationship soured as Chris Wray oversaw an FBI that investigated Trump. Give me a break. Resulting in two separate federal cases against our greatest president. Trump also was enraged with the FBI for, among other things, carrying out the so-called lawful search of Mar-a-Lago, his Mar-a-Lago home or slash resort in 2022. Trump had vowed to replace the FBI director with loyalist Kash Patel. They call him a loyalist, though Chris Wray still had three remaining years in his 10-year term. Kash Patel will need to be confirmed by the far-left lame-o rhino Senate. What a mess. And that CEO murder investigation, you hear about that? The 3D-printed gun that the CEO killing suspect Luigi Mangione had when he was arrested this week in PA, Pennsylvania, reportedly matches three shell casings found at the crime scene in Manhattan. That's so said police. The 9mm shell casings had the words delay, deny, and depose written across them. One word per round or bullet or whatever it's called. I'm not sure because I don't know gun vernacular. Police had been looking into whether those words, which match the title of a 2010 book critiquing the insurance industry, may point to a motive for the killing of the United Healthcare, all one word, CEO Brian Thompson. Mangione's fingerprints also matched the investigators, what these investigators found on items near the scene of the December 4th murder, authorities said. Mangione's lawyer told Commie Nonsense Wednesday that he wants to examine the evidence that police say they have against his client to assess their truthfulness and accuracy. Well, we want the truth and we want accuracy. Some of us do anyway, maybe. And presidential pardon, so-called presidential crooked Joe Biden, sleepy Joe Biden, really, announced he is commuting the sentences of some 1,500 individuals. He's letting them all out of prison and pardoning 39 people convicted of so-called nonviolent crimes, marking a broad use of the presidential clemency power just weeks from the end of Crooked Joe's administration, Sleepy Joe's administration. The individuals whose long sentences will be commuted were placed in home confinement during the China virus scamdemic and were deemed to have demonstrated a clear commitment to rehabilitation and reintegration into their communities, so said sources. The dozens of others being pardoned were convicted of so-called nonviolent crimes and considered to have demonstrated records of meaningfully giving back to the country. Oh, please, sound like liberals. This comes on the heels of his decision to pardon Hunter, his son. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 2.
Somewhere in the world today, men have got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question for this week is a doozy. Did you find God or did he find you? Did you find God or did he find you? Amazing. You can, if you're out and about or just laying up at the beach or whatever, or selling fentanyl or trying to steal somebody's child from their yard, backyard, or you try to go into a church with a gun or whatever, you could be listening to the show as it is happening by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Thursday, second hour, and every Thursday is and will always be Bible Thumper Thursday. Oh, Lord! He's dropping the basket.
All right, brother. Are you ready? He's drunk as a badger. Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
The Holy Ghost language.
What the?
If anybody asks what's the matter with me, tell them I'm saved, sanctified, and running for my life. Before I go back to the phone, you heard the breaking news on the hate report. The hate news, not the fake news, right? Joe Biden done pardoned everybody and they mama, according to the report. Joe Biden done pardoned everybody and they mama. And if you're white, everybody and their mama. We have more of that coming up for you. All right. Also, so talking about anger, and my friend said that Muhammad Ali didn't have anger. When Ali fought in the ring, he didn't have anger. He gave, he even gave us a rhyme after his fight. Ali may have had anger at a time in his life, but not in the ring. That makes sense because you cannot have anger. You cannot have anger, and then when you get in the ring, you're going to leave that anger outside the ring. What the? And then when you get out of the ring, you got your anger back. What the? Either you have anger or you don't have anger. Amazing. 888-77-JESSE. I want to go back to Alec out of Florida. I had to put Alec on hold because of time and because of time. Alec, so your question for me is what?
Basically, yeah, if you remember, like, am I still, like, messed up since I, like, sinned? And, yeah, I heard you say, like, basically, you know, once you're, like, a new person, you shouldn't be, you know, living the old way anymore.
And your question, are you still messed up?
Yeah, basically.
Because you what?
Well, because I had sex out of wedlock, even though I knew it was wrong. Well, I mean, I stopped, but it did, you know, it still counts.
Are you calling that a sin?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It says in the Bible, you're not supposed to have sex out of wedlock, so I thought it was a sin.
Where in the Bible does it say you're not supposed to have sex out of wedlock?
When it talks about, like, the area, I mean, I don't know the whole Bible yet. I only been Christian for a little bit, but I probably never will. It's a pretty long book, but, like, I don't know. I remember, I think in, like, Matthew or somewhere, like, Jesus is talking about sexual sin, and he's saying, like, you know, don't sexually sin, don't, like, be, like, an adulterer, don't, you know, have sex out of, I don't know, you know, just talking about all the different sexual sins. I mean, I don't really know what they are.
But Jesus never called it sexual sin. Where'd you get that idea?
Who never called it that?
Jesus.
Oh, well, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong part. I don't know. I feel like I remember reading that at some point.
And where?
In the Bible. I don't know. Which part? I mean, I could be like, I'm not claiming to be right. I just, you know, I thought it's a sin to have sex out of wedlock, but maybe I'm wrong.
You should not have sex out of wedlock, because the right way is to be married in case you make children, so that they will have a father and a mother. And sex should not be used as a drug. God made it possible to have sex, but because people use it as a mean of escaping rather than overcoming, that's where the problem is. But they use it the way they use drugs, to feel good, to feel a false sense of love. And that's where the problem is. But the sex itself is not a sin. It's the way you use it in order to forget and not to remember. It's only supposed to be for making babies.
Okay, so that's why you're supposed to be married, since it's just supposed to be for babies?
Yeah, if you don't want to make children, there's no reason to even get married.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it's not a sin.
Okay. All right, so, you know, maybe... Well,
you're only guilty of one sin.
What's that?
Unforgiveness. Salvation is of the heart, and all who have anger have hatred, and anyone who has hatred play God. And when you play God, you think you know what you want, you think you know what you need, you judge yourself and other people, so you're playing God. And until the heart change, you're never going to know God. Satan will be your God. But salvation is of the heart. Have you dropped your anger?
Yeah, that's actually how I, when God revealed himself to me, I listened to your show, because, yeah, like I said, I was just living in the world, and then I heard you say, like, oh, go and forgive people. So then I was living in Ohio at the time, and my parents live in Florida, so I sat them down, and I was like, hey, you know, I know this is probably going to seem random, but I'm becoming, like, a Christian, so I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, I forgive you guys. I love you guys for, you know, all the stuff that happened. And, you know, that's that, basically. And they were all surprised, and my mom was crying and all this stuff.
What was she crying for?
Because she was, like, sad that, you know, she felt like she did a bad job and I, like, hated her and stuff. And
you did hate her, and she did do a bad job.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I did kind of hate her. Yeah, she did kind of mess up a little bit. But, and then basically I laid down in bed that night. I didn't even know what was happening. And then basically God revealed himself to me. And then I pretty much started following him ever since. And I've just been learning from him ever since that day, really. It's pretty crazy. And, like, my old friends asked me, like, well, what's that like and stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I can't really describe it, because it's like, you know, it's just different than anything else. It's fun, though.
Well, and you stay working on that. You know, do the silent prayer. You stay present. You're fine. And this thing that happened with that girl, forget about it. Try to avoid it, of course, but forget about it. Move on with your life. That was not a sin.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess, yeah, everything, like, God kind of has worked everything out in my life except for, like, I don't really know if, like, if even, like, the Christian women are going to try and sleep with you, like, how do you even, like, talk to a woman? I don't know.
You talk to her by being you. Don't put on a front. You be who you are. You be honest and be fair and just deal with them like you would anyone. Christian women are not special. They're no different than secular women. And so just treat them the way you would treat anybody. Don't be angry at them and be honest with them. That's all you have to do. And don't look for a wife. You only stay on the path of what is right. And if God intends for you to have a wife, he will add one unto you. But don't want for one. Don't look for one. You're only supposed to want for what is right and nothing else.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's not even that just that I'm, like, you know, going out looking for one. But it's like, you know, just living my life. You run into them or whatever.
Yeah. and just because she says she's a Christian, don't think she's, it's just a name. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, it's just another title. It's just another title.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right, well, yeah, no, I love the show. And, yeah, thank you. You're pretty much the reason I found God and changed my life, you know, forgiven and all the stuff, it actually works. So
yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, man. To stay with us, stay present. You'll be fine. It gets better.
Okay. Awesome. Well, yeah.
All right.
To you later, Jesse. God bless. Bro.
You too. Merry Christmas. Bye. Amazing. So according to Fox 59, President Joe Biden is commuting the sentences of roughly 1,500 people who were released from prison and placed on house confinement during the coronavirus pandemic, and is pardoning 39 Americans convicted of nonviolent crime. Now, are you okay with Joe Biden pardoning his boy? Are you okay? Josh out of Georgia. Josh, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Jesse.
Merry Christmas, Josh. Amazing.
Yes, sir. All right. I was calling to answer the biblical question, man.
What? I mean, did you find God or did he find you?
I don't see that I have found God yet. God can't find you because God created you, supposedly. So creating you and finding you are two different things. So.
And so did you find God or did God find you?
I didn't find God, and God did not find me.
I once was lost, but now I'm still lost. Want to be found, but he won't. So your response to the biblical question is, you didn't find God, and God did not find you.
Yeah, I believe in God. I want to know God, and I believe I've taken steps towards that. And I'm just doing what works, trial and error. You know,
and
I'm just doing what seems to work.
And what do you mean when you say I do believe in God and I want to know God? How do you believe in Him but don't know Him?
Because believing is just learning the concepts and ideas about it, which doesn't mean anything.
So then why don't you drop your belief in him, the belief? Why don't you drop it?
Drop it? Like, I know that I want to know God, and that's the way to go.
So if you know that for sure, why don't you drop belief? How will you know him as long as you're holding on to belief in him?
Let's see. I didn't know I had to drop the belief in order to know him.
But how can you have both? Are you believing him or you know him? Which one? You can't. Why are you holding on to belief if you want to know him?
It must be that it feels good to believe, and I'm running from the pain of not believing the thoughts that don't want me to know them.
Repeat that.
It must be that I'm running from the pain of...
Adjust the camera because I had to let my seat up. Somebody had to let my seat down. Go ahead.
It must be that I'm...
Go ahead.
It's got to be that I'm running from the pain of dropping the belief in God or the thought, the ideas about it. That's the only thing I can see is I see myself constantly chasing these thrills, and to not chase thrills is pain, and I'm running from that pain.
Why run from it instead of running toward it?
I'm not sure. I want to run toward it.
Why don't you?
Maybe because it hurts.
No pain. No pain, no gain.
Right.
And who is hurting?
Yeah, probably the thing in me.
Who is hurting?
The devil.
So if that's true, why do you say, I don't want to feel the pain?
Yeah, I misspoke. I do feel it, but it's the devil's pain.
Why do you call it yours then?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. I got tricked into doing that.
I got tricked by the devil. Amazing. Well, I appreciate your responding to the biblical question, and I will put my little two cents in on Sunday if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise.
Okay. It seems like I can't. I don't know, man. Okay, I'll keep trying.
You don't know what?
That's all. You asked me, why don't I just drop my beliefs and drop?
Why don't you just drop the thoughts? Why do you still believe thoughts? Why do you trust thoughts?
I don't know if I can do that.
You can do what? You don't know if you can do what?
Drop all thoughts.
Why can't you?
It seemed like only God can do that through me. If I try to do it, it doesn't.
So
I'm not sure
if
how
you believe,
to do it.
If you believe that, then why don't you let God make you drop your thoughts? Why don't you allow him to do it if you believe that?
That's what it, that, I believe that's what I'm doing. Oh. I think that's what I'm doing.
Do you know what it means to, when I said drop the thought, you know what I mean by that? Do you know how to do that?
To just watch.
That's
them,
all
right?
You do. Why don't you just watch the thoughts and let them be and stop going with them?
So, right. So I see myself.
No, that was a
going,
question.
I try to do that, but I fail at it every time.
Then you're not doing it. You're not trying. All you gotta do is watch him and
do
nothing. All you gotta do is watch him and do nothing about it. Why is that difficult? Why can't you just watch them as though you're watching a movie? You can't make the movie change its scene. You have to watch it, right?
Right.
Why don't you do the same with the thoughts?
I believe I'm doing that, and I just watch myself fail.
But what self is failing?
Oh, okay.
No, that was a question.
Maybe, I don't know what myself is. So
then why do you keep
saying
I keep failing? If there's no one there to fail, how can you fail?
Yeah, I don't even know if I am failing.
But you say you are. Why are you saying you are?
It seems like I'm failing, but I'm not 100% sure.
How does it seem like you're failing when there's no one to fail? There is no you to fail. How come it seem like you're failing when there's no one there to fail? It's just another idea you have.
Yeah.
No, but how are you failing if there's no one to fail?
I don't know if I'm failing or not.
You said you were.
Yeah, because I wasn't 100% sure. It seemed like failure, but it's possibly not. Probably not.
What?
So I don't know what. Words are tricky. I mean, I'm trying to watch my thoughts, and it's like, okay, by watching my thoughts, you must mean to not even, like, thoughts about watching thoughts is our lies.
What?
Like, okay, so if I'm not sure what failing at watching thoughts is and succeeding at watching thoughts is. I just
Why are you making something so simple, so complicated?
It must be the devil putting lie thoughts in my head. That must be what it is.
Why are you listening to the devil?
Because I'm not sure if it's the devil or not.
Who is it if it's not the devil?
It must be. Okay, I don't know.
What? No, I need a drink right now.
Yeah, I don't. Communication is tricky like this, you know? So. A lot of times when I hear you talk about stuff, I don't get it at first. It comes to me later.
Okay. You know how when you're watching a movie, right?
Yeah.
And you can't, when a scene come about that you don't like, oh, that's a horrible scene, you can't go up in the scream and change the scene, right?
Right.
You just have to sit there and watch it, right?
That's all you do for life.
So, I'm talking about the stay with me. When you're watching a movie, you have to sit there and just watch it, right?
Right.
So why don't you do the same thing with thoughts?
I believe I am doing that.
Then what are you talking about then?
I don't know. Got confused a little bit.
What a mess. Thank you, man.
Yeah, no problem. Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas. Amazing. 888-775-3773. David is a first-time call out of Chicago. David, welcome to the show. You're on the air. David? No, David. 888-77-JESSE. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Vanessa bought a coffee yesterday just before the end of the show asking,
ask,
is it better for kids to be born again to be with a born again single mother or with a single father in a fallen state?
What?
Is it better for kids to be with a born again single mother or with a single father in the fallen state?
A single father.
Based.
Thank you. A single father.
Another three coffees from Vanessa. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Answer to the biblical question.
Did you find God or did he find you?
She says, I sense that God has always been with me. I've never been without him. He waits quietly for us to see that he never left us, even when we stumble around like lost sheep. How can you find someone who never left you? How can he find you if he never left you? She asks.
So she's not, did she answer the biblical question?
Yeah, she says neither, but not in the way that Josh in Georgia just said neither.
But she made a statement. She didn't answer the question. Are you done reading? Is there more there?
Nope, that's it.
She's not answering the biblical question?
She's talking around and about the biblical question.
No, the biblical question, what's her name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, the biblical question is, did you find God or did he find you? Can you make that clear, answer the question, did you find God? Because that wasn't, you didn't answer the question. Thank you, though. Answer, if you want to respond to the question, is did you find God or did he find you?
Thank you, Vanessa.
Yeah, thank you, Vanessa. Amazing.
Rocky Road bought a coffee. Jesse, let me ask.
Ask!
Since I've been born again of the Spirit and no longer have anger, do I have to go and forgive all the people that I resented when I was in my fallen state? Because if so, I'll be forgiving people until the cows come home. Or is forgiving my mother and father enough?
That's enough. Once you truly forgive your parents, then you're free of anger. There's no one else to forgive. You forgive all. You don't hold anything against anyone for any reason. Amazing. Thank you.
Also on Buy Me a Coffee, Deplorable Dave, Jesse, in response to the biblical question.
Did you find God or did he find you?
Jesse, I didn't find God and he didn't find me either. He was already inside of me and all of us. The biblical question has been answered 100% correctly now. On to next week's question. You're welcome, y'all.
Thank you for putting your two cents in. I'll put mine in on Sunday. Thank you.
Sounds similar to Vanessa's answer.
Right.
Forgive yo mama bought a question, although he was more direct.
Yeah.
Forgive yo mama bought a coffee. My answer to the biblical question.
Did you find God or did he find you?
God ain't the one who's lost. I do believe he was always there, though, sipping mochaccinos, eating egg bites, watching, waiting. I believe it is up to me to find him again. Says, forgive your mama.
And so, are they going to respond to the biblical question?
Maybe not.
Oh, I thought you said they wanted to respond to the biblical question.
It says my answer to the biblical question. I'm just reading what's there.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing my best.
Be a little, respond, if you're responding to the biblical question, if you can, make it about the biblical question. Thank you. Respond to the biblical question. I appreciate it.
And we'll have to read the rest of these after this break.
Thank you all so much. Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. What a mess! Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought, because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. Okay, welcome back. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. The Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com. And at 11 a.m., Hake is from 9 to 11. And at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV. He black, Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. At 12 noon, The American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at not 12, but 4 p.m. My bad. 4 p.m. Pacific time. The American Anchor Baby. 4 p.m., not 12, but 4. All right. Merry Christmas to all from all of us at Jesse Lee Peterson, Bond, thefallenstate.tv, the radio show, Hake, Joel, the producer of the FallenState.tv, and the American Anchor Baby, Joel Friday and the American Anchor Baby. Merry Christmas. And thank you all for all the gifts you're sending us, fruit baskets and all kind of stuff. Gestures. Hey, gestures from all of us. Thank you for the gift you're sending us. It's amazing. Justice, what you doing, Justice? Hank, my friend said Muhammad Ali only had anger outside the ring, not on the inside, because he made rhymes when he won on the inside.
That doesn't make sense. That's a nice try, though. You can, any old angry black can rhyme. Look at Tupac. Shout out.
Have you ever heard of a holy door?
This morning I did.
That's your first time hearing about it in the meeting this morning?
That's right.
What's wrong with the Catholic people?
All these traditions.
They're so into worshiping the outer world and nowhere in worshiping the inner world. What happened? No wonder the Pope is ticked. The Catholics have something called the holy doors. And people are crazy enough to think they're walking through holy doors. A door is just a door. Ain't nothing holy about it.
Some of these doors are pretty cool, though.
They're a cool door, but they ain't holy.
That's fair.
And the Pope is ticked.
He's going to open them, I heard.
I bet he is. With all that anger. There's something called the holy door. And I want to know your thoughts on the holy door ritual. This is from the New York Post. My first time, too, hearing about it in the producer meeting this morning. Oh, at the holy door. Watch this from the New York Post. Pope Francis will open a series of 5 holy doors throughout the Vatican to commemorate, to commence next year's Catholic Church Jubilee, a joyful commemoration of faith that normally occurs every 25 years. For those who have not heard of the Holy Door, as I have not, I heard of the Holy Ghost, but not the Holy Doors. Watch this from YouTube.
There was a tradition that started in the year 1500 of the Holy Doors. So the four major basilicas also have these Holy Doors. They are sealed shut with concrete and only open Christmas Eve at midnight mass. You have seven churches, really. Not just the four major basilicas, but seven churches that you need to go to. Santa Maria Maggiore, which is right behind me. St. John of Lateran. St. Paul's outside the walls. St. Peter. And then three other minor ones, but in reality, those are amazing churches too. The Holy Cross of Jerusalem, St. Lawrence outside the walls, and St. Sebastian outside the walls. So the idea is that you come to these churches when you come to Rome in the Jubilee year. Why are these doors so important? Because the idea is that if you walk through the Holy Doors, you would receive the greatest plenary indulgence to spend less time in purgatory. That doesn't mean you just walk through the door, because I walk through the door so many times I'd have my automatic fast track ticket into heaven. But first of all, you have to be Catholic. You have to have good intent. You have to go to Mass within a certain amount of time. And I believe you also have to go to confession as well. So it's not just your get out of jail free card by walking through these doors.
Can we say insane? That's insanity. That's like doing the Holy Mary, Mother of God worship thing. That's like somebody saying, oh, I saw Mary over there in that mountain corner of that mountain. Everybody come from all around the world to see Mary, and Mary ain't there.
Sounds like loopholes.
So are they saying that there's a building, and inside of this building are these other churches, and you have to go through those doors?
No, there's a bunch of different churches in that area in Rome.
Oh, they're not in the building. They're just around the big
church.
There's
a bunch of buildings.
They're around the big church.
I don't know. He named seven different churches. Each of them have doors.
Don't they supposed to have a door?
But these are holy.
Special doors. Well, but there's five holy doors that he's opening for the first time. Never done this ritual before.
And what make a door holy?
I don't know.
I don't know, but apparently if you walk through it, it cleanses your sins.
But it says, don't you still have to repent to Mary?
Right. You still have to do Catholic stuff.
You have to be ready. You have to be right. You have to be this. You have to be that. After you walk through all these doors,
you spend less time in purgatory. They say
you going through purgatory, no doors.
It sounds like loopholes. Like you could just say a couple of words and get out of sin.
It's insane.
Five Hail Marys.
No wonder the Pope is so ticked. Whew, that's too much work. Going through all those doors, and Mary ain't there. Full of grace.
I heard he's opening a holy door at a prison.
I bet he is. Catherine, what wrong with y'all? No wonder you hide the illegal aliens when they come in. You all messed up in the head.
Yeah.
A lot of Mexican people are Catholic, right?
Big time.
And have they walked through those doors?
I don't know if Mexicans go overseas much.
Oh, so you got to pay all that money to go over there to get through the door?
Yeah.
What about if your knees hurt? Can you still walk through the Holy Door?
If I were in charge, I wouldn't let them go with a wheelchair.
If you were in charge.
Yep.
That's why you're not in charge.
Yeah.
But it's like, do you really want God if you're not crawling out of your wheelchair?
Waiting on God, waiting on you. I tried to find that story you tell me about, but I don't see it, producer.
The Biden one?
Yeah.
It was the one you read in the chat.
Is there somebody
Fox 59, Joe Biden commuting the sentence of roughly 1,500 people.
So here's that soundbite.
Let me get to that. Right here we go.
In our nation's capital, President Joe Biden is commuting the sentences of roughly 1,500 people who were released from prison and placed on home confinement during the pandemic. He's also pardoning 39 Americans convicted of nonviolent crimes.
This marks the single largest act of pardoning in modern history. The single largest day was back during the Obama administration before he left office in 2017. Biden's pardon includes a church deacon, a doctoral student, and a military veteran. The move comes as the president faces scrutiny for pardoning his son, Hunter, of felony gun and tax charges.
I'm going to call up Biden today and see if Biden will open that door and let my Uncle Jojo out of prison. Ojo. Jojo didn't mean to kill his wife and bury her under the porch.
But that sounds like a state crime. I don't know if the president can the pardon president can the president pardon state criminals too?
But don't all crimes happen in states?
Yeah, but they have federal laws, you know. Maybe he can.
But all crimes are happening in somebody's state.
Right. But there's also federal crimes and there's state crimes.
So
states have their criminal codes and then the feds have their criminal codes. Maybe he can pardon them too.
Well, I'm saying I don't have an Uncle Jojo who killed Mary Lou, his wife, or anybody. But since Joe doing all that pardon, maybe I can find somebody in prison here. How about pardon Diddy?
Diddy?
Uh-huh.
You should.
That's his name?
Yeah.
Tell Joe Biden to
pardon. That's not his real name.
Tell Joe Biden to free Diddy.
Yeah. And Jay-Z, just in case.
So my friend said, I was just mentioning about the rhymes to show that Ali was just having as much fun as he could with his job. He was, if he was angry, he wouldn't be making jokes. And making and playing with the media. If he were angry, he couldn't play with the media. He wouldn't be making jokes and blah, blah, blah.
Well, if he was consumed with anger at the moment, in the moment, but that doesn't mean that he didn't have any anger.
Amazing.
But, yeah, I liked his sassy attitude, I think. Muhammad Ali.
888-775-3773. Let me go to Jonathan. Jonathan out of Canada. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How are you doing?
All is well.
Amazing. So I actually have two questions. One I thought of earlier, but you've loosely said that Revelation has already happened.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering if you believe that there's like a judgment day, like, you know, after we die and all that kind of stuff. That's what like Paul writes that God will do it with the body at death and then raise the body at resurrection. So, like, what are your thoughts on like a judgment day?
What do you mean by judgment day?
Like all the world will be judged before God. What exactly does that mean?
That all the world has, but He's already done that, and then He wiped away your sins, and so there is no more judgment.
And so, like, how do you figure that?
But how do you figure it? There is.
Oh, just out of, you know, normal, like, Christian teachings, right? That's what you're rather unorthodox in the things that you say. You say a lot of different things compared to various other, like, teachers or whatever you want to call them. And so.
But the only judgment that you have is when you judge others, you're judging yourself. And if you didn't judge others, you would never be judged. That's the only.
Amazing.
That's the only judgment that exists.
All right. So then, what does it mean, though? Then, like in Matthew 12:36, it says the day of judgment. What is that all about?
It came. It was done, and you've been wiped clean. and all your sins have been taken away from you.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. So my second question then is in regards to one of your earlier callers when he, like, the guy that was having sex out of wedlock that you didn't say that was a sin.
Right.
Paul writes that if you, I forget how exactly it's worded, forgive my inability to memorize this properly, but Paul writes that if you can't contain the flames of passion or however it's written, that you should get married so that way you don't give in to, like, sexual immorality.
Right.
Instead of it just being about babies. Sorry.
So you don't burn, but he didn't call it a sin.
So then, so I don't understand then. So how is it not a sin? Because that's, like, anybody else would say that. Oh, yeah, you're sinning.
But how is it a sin? God never called it a sin. Paul didn't call it a sin. How is it a sin?
I don't know. I'm just going by what lots of people say, right?
And do you believe it's a sin?
I'm not too sure because I start to doubt things when too many people start saying the same thing. I get skeptical.
But so you don't know if you believe it's a sin or not?
Well, I've always, like, was raised or thought that it was a sin, but then you say a little bit different. And, like, I get what you're saying. It makes a lot more practical sense.
What am I saying?
That it isn't a sin. Versus, well, if I were to ask, you know, other people in my life who know the Bible, that, yep, that's a sin.
But they lie to you. Which is easy for you to accept? That all your, that you are a sinner, or all your sins have been wiped away?
I would have to go with the second one.
What's the second one?
All your sins have been wiped away.
So then why do you believe sex is a sin?
Well, just, I guess, undoing or unlearning things that I've been taught.
Yeah, I understand. Absolutely. And that's what happens when you forgive. God will give you a clear mind, and he will get rid of all the lies and destructions that you've been taught. Because if you notice, people of morality are living in prison. They're unhappy. They have no love. They have no peace. They have no joy or anything. And they're living in hell with their morality. But those who let the morality go, they are free.
That makes sense.
Amazing. Amazing question, Jonathan.
Hey, thank you, sir. You have a good one.
You too, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me try David, a first-time call out of Chicago again. I think he's ready. David, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
What's up, Jesse?
All is well, David.
Hey, amazing. My question was, what is a Christian in your...
Repeat that?
What is a true Christian in your opinion?
It doesn't exist. It's just a word. It's just a word.
So, like, what does a Christian mean? Like, what's the definition of it?
They say it means Christ-like, but Christians are no way Christ-like.
So how can you be Christ-like?
That's what you need to find out from them. They don't even know what it means.
So you're not a Christian?
I mean, if you ask me what religion that I... commute with, I would say Christianity, but it's just a word. It's not who I am at all.
So you're not Christ-like?
I wouldn't think of anything like that.
But do you believe? I'm a huge fan, man. I'd be laughing to all your views. I'd be like, amazing.
Amazing.
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
I wouldn't say that either. You know, I think I'm on your boat. Well, not particularly. But I do read the Bible. I try to understand it.
Are you Christ-like?
What does that mean?
No, I'm asking you, are you Christ-like? You're a Christian, right?
Well, I'm not sure, dude. I believe in Jesus.
You believe
in
Jesus?
I believe that he... Yep.
And what do you believe in Jesus? What does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, he took away all our spiritual sins. At that moment in time, and then, like, after that, more sins were created. So So you have to go back on that boat to get all the sins out. And then he's pretty much a navigator. He if, says he's the way.
If he wiped away all sins, how can sin be redone?
Because free will.
But are you saying that you have a free will?
Yes.
And why do you think you have a free will?
I think I have a free will because, honestly, I could jump out this window right now, and that's my free will.
But and so if you do you want to sin?
I don't. I want to do the best I can amongst my brothers.
So why don't you will yourself not to sin?
Because it's hard.
But you have a free will. You should be able to do whatever you want with your own free will.
Right. But what makes you Christ-minded is just thinking about others when you want to think only about yourself.
Well, what I'm asking, if you believe you have a free will, why don't you will yourself to have perfect peace?
I'm going to make a theory. I don't know if it's true or not, Jesse, on that question you just asked. But I think that if we're here on this plane, we have imperfections. If you had no imperfections, I don't think you would be here anymore. Honest theory.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but why don't you will yourself to have perfect peace or to never have another negative thought? Can you will yourself to never think negatively again?
How can you get to that point?
But you said you have a free will. My point is you do not have a free will. There's no such thing as a free will.
So you believe no one has a free will here?
Right.
So this is like the Matrix movie.
I'm sorry?
This is like the Matrix. You seen that movie, The Matrix?
No. I know what you're talking about. I know what movie you're talking about, but I never watched it.
Yeah, so pretty much everyone is designed to be and do what they are. And if that's the case, if you have no free will, then what's the point of caring? What's the point of caring if you are being controlled?
And what's the point of caring about what?
Just this plane that we exist on.
Meaning what? You care about it?
I mean, just caring about how you care for yourself, how you move around, all your actions, physically, spiritually, mentally. What's the point of caring if you're being controlled anyways? You don't have a say in the matter, you know?
But you don't care.
I didn't say that. I do care. I really want people to be uplifted and get beyond their prisons.
Why? But people don't. Most people don't want that. They don't want to be uplifted. They love their prison. Why would you care about that at all when most people love their prison?
I don't know. Just to help them out where I can.
But you can't help a person that doesn't want to be helped. Even God can't help those who don't want to be helped because they love their prison. And so God leave them in prison.
Can you help me?
Can God help me? God can't.
You're not God.
Right. I can't help you either.
Oh, man, you a whole... Man, I am so happy I was able to talk to you. That is awesome.
call me again.
Well, I'll let you go, dude. God, peace, man. Thank you.
You too, buddy. I got to take a break. Hate news, not the fake news. One more hour to go. Back in a moment.
I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world.
Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that, out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
Oh,
lot of mess going on in the world. There was an IG outage. I think that's what was affecting my my Facebook live stream yesterday, by the way. It wasn't all my fault. And there's this drone mystery thing that's going on back east or somewhere. Selena Gomez is engaged. I prefer the dead Selena, but shout out. Bill Belichick is a college coach now or something like that. NFL is standing with Jay-Z's Roc Nation. Of course they are. and other stuff going on in the world. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday, December 12th, AD 2024. There is one line open. You can call in right now during Hake News, Not Fake News, and JLP will be right back to your calls. By the way, one other news item I may or may not be able to get to this segment. There's this trans kids healthcare ban that's put into a defense bill, and it passed the House, and now it has to face the Senate, and it may pass the Senate. Who knows? Drama, huh? I wonder if Biden would veto it on his last day of office or something. Who knows? What a mess. Because Biden is for the trans kids. What a terrible. Anyway, Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, reports Meta, the owner of Facebook and Instagram, used to be called Facebook, now it's Meta, said Wednesday that they're close to resolving a technical issue that was causing or is causing widespread outage of their apps, including Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. We're aware that a technical issue is impacting some users' ability to access our apps. We're working to get things back to normal as quickly as possible. Apologize for any inconvenience, Meta Newsroom said Wednesday afternoon about that. WhatsApp and Instagram both confirmed outages via X, Elon Musk's X, on Twitter, you know? Thousands of users reported they were unable to access Meta's. Is it Meta or Meta? Meta's apps. Meta's apps. The outage lasted more than 3 hours. By 5:30 Eastern, Meta posted their 99% of the way there to fully solving the issue. I mean, to solving the issue fully. Whatever. Drone mystery. Weeks of mysterious drone sightings across New Jersey, prompting heightened security concerns, mounting frustrations from residents, military personnel, and federal, state, and local officials. Law enforcement has not identified the origin or landing sites of these drones, but emphasized there is no threat to public safety. Like they know. Mayor Michael Melham of Belleville Township said the drones primarily operate at night, often displaying flashing lights, but they turn off the lights and evade police helicopters when approached. Wow. Some members of Congress have speculated that a foreign entity may be involved in the drones, something the Pentagon quickly rebuffed on Wednesday. Selena Gomez, she's that pop star. She sings, I think. And she's engaged. She's also an actress from some movie or show. I don't know. She's engaged to record producer and songwriter Benny Blanco. Congratulations, I guess. Bill Belichick, I've heard of him. He's named head football coach at University of North Carolina. Nice. Longtime NFL coach in UNC. They agreed to a 5-year deal pending approval of the university's board of trustees and board of governors. Let's hope they don't mess it up, huh? And the NFL, National Football League, far-left extremist, feminist, anti-racist, anti-white, anti-family, partnership with Jay-Z's Roc Nation, ROC Nation, is not changing amid the so-called sexual assault allegations. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, or is it Roger Baddell? He is standing by Jay-Z's Roc Nation amid allegations that the rapper and businessman and mogul so-called assaulted a teenager in the year 2000, who's no longer a teenager but is anonymously accusing him of stuff, along with Sean Diddy Combs. What a Combs, not Combs. I always thought it was Combs, but it's Combs, like combing your hair. Anyway, I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Bible Thumper Thursday, Hour 3.
Thank you.
got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-773-7773. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, did you find God or did he find you? Did you find God or did he find you? My biblical question. If you're out and about, you can still listen to the show doing whatever you're doing. We are heard around the world by everybody and they mama if you're black, and everybody and their mama if you're white. So you can be listening, you can podcast, but you can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Thursday. It's the last hour of the show today. And every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't feel your faith. Are you ready? Are you...
What's next? Yeah. What a mess. That should get you to heaven, right? I have a guest here. To the callers, hold on. I will get to your calls. I have back with me, and I had Dave Rubin on the show, my radio show, a long time ago. He's back. Dave Rubin is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. Of Shiloh, Israel. He's an author and the founder and president of Shiloh, Israel Children Fund. David, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jesse, good to be with you.
Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. And it's been a while.
It's been a long time. How have you been?
Thank God. It's been an extremely eventful year here in Israel and certainly around Israel. And Thank God we got past the worst times, and we're moving forward.
And I read and I've seen on the local news that there's a lot of tension, or was a lot of tension between Syria and Israel. How is that going now?
Well, it depends on what you mean by Syria. You know, Syria is basically a non-country at this point. You know, just to give you a little background, okay? The countries in the Middle East, with the exception of Israel, which is a country that if you go back through history and you read your biblical, for those of your listeners, I imagine you have a few listeners who are biblically literate.
Right.
And so if you go back through the history, through the biblical history, you're going to be reading all about Israel. And, almost everything in the Bible relates to Israel.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Absolutely.
So, so I'm sitting here, with ancient Shiloh in back of me. I mean, we call it by its Hebrew pronunciation, Shiloh, but this is ancient Shiloh right here. And, so you're talking about the biblical heartland of Israel. You're talking about where Joshua, okay, who succeeded Moses as the, Moses took the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Joshua took over and brought the Israelites into the land of Israel. That's our history. And that goes back some 4,000 years. Now, if you want to look at the other countries in the Middle East, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, these are all countries that were formed by the European countries that were the colonizers here in the Middle East. So Syria really is a non-country. Jordan is really a non-country, and Lebanon is really a non-country. And we see that happening now. Now that we have total bedlam in Syria, in which jihadists are busy killing each other.
Yeah,
Shiite Muslims and the Sunni Muslims, and it's like in the Bible where it says about Ishmael, that he will be a wild man, and his hand, it's actually literally, it says he will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And that's what we see happening in Syria today.
Amazing. And you're right, I went to Israel. We made two trips there, really. And going through Israel, you were able to walk through the Bible. Yeah, and just everything I read about or heard about in the Bible, I was able to, most of everything, experience and see that for myself while in Israel, and it was amazing. And that's why if I was God and someone wanted to come to heaven or go to heaven, they would have to go to Israel first. Otherwise, they cannot enter into heaven.
Well, I think you got it right. there is no way that you can tour Israel without a Bible in hand.
Yeah.
If you really want to make an educated visit, and a highly spiritual visit as well. So I know so many people who come to Israel, and it doesn't matter whether they're Jews or Christians. Maybe it does matter if they're Muslims, but most Jews or Christians come to Israel, and they just float through the country. They just come back, they go back home feeling like they were floating the whole time. And it's hard to believe, because you read about Israel in the news, and what do you read about? You read about the terrorism, and Jesse, that I was wounded in a terror attack myself.
Yeah.
Along with my three-year-old son, who was shot in the head. And thank God we both survived. And thank God, out of that attack, I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund for the purpose of healing the trauma of the terror victim children. So, yes, good things come out of everything. But all you hear about in the news is the terrorism. And but then if you come to Israel, so you don't feel it so much.
Right.
You know, even if the tension is in the air about the wars that are going on, that Israel has been forced to fight in Gaza and in Lebanon and in Syria and in Iran and down at the Red Sea against Yemen and, you know, I mean, in Judea and Samaria, where I am right now in Samaria. You know, we're talking a seven-front war that Israel has been forced into. But if you come to Israel as a tourist, you may feel it a little bit, but for the most part, you just feel like you're floating. And that's the miracle of modern-day Israel today.
I remember the first time we went there, and people were telling us before we went there, oh, you better not go over there, it's too risky. You may get killed and blah, blah, blah. But when I went, we felt safer in Israel than we do in America. And I was surprised by that because I didn't feel threatened or afraid and all that because it just felt safer over there than it did here.
That's the paradox. That's the paradox of modern day Israel. I can't explain it. I can't explain it, Jesse, except to say, that this is God's land. And, you know, he says it all through the Bible. And, you know, and I believe in that.
Yeah.
I believe in that. You know, people like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden would probably say that I'm old-fashioned for believing such things and that I should be in the modern world where we believe that boys are girls and girls are boys and everything is upside down. Well, I don't believe in that. I believe in God. I believe in the traditional family. And that's what most Israelis also believe in.
Yeah.
That's where we're moving. That's where we're moving to. Traditional family and God.
Do you believe that, I don't know if you know or not, but what do you think going to happen with Hamas and Hezbollah? Do you think that now that they have this issue over in Syria, that they're going to retaliate in one form or another against Israel?
Well, I'm sorry for laughing, Jesse. I got to tell you something. You know, for years, people have been saying, well, don't do anything to aggravate the Muslim radicals. Don't do anything to aggravate them. You know, just keep things calm. And, you know, Biden's been telling us this for years, or at least Biden's advisors. Biden hasn't been saying much himself.
Right.
But for years we've been told, just keep things calm. Okay, don't retaliate. Don't do anything that's gonna stir things up. Well, we're dealing with Muslim radicals, for God's sake. You know, we're not talking about you know, Switzerland and Austria and Luxembourg. You know, we're not talking about neighbors that have been at peace for years. We're talking about a radical ideology that is in collusion with the far left and that wants to destroy Judeo-Christian civilization. That's who we're talking about. So there is nothing that Israel can do to aggravate or stir things up with Hamas and Hezbollah. They've been firing rockets at Israel for about 30 years now. And launching terrorist attacks against Israel for about 30 years now, and the October 7th massacre carried out by Hamas and then followed up by rocket attacks from Hezbollah, they This has been going on too long. And, you know, I think someone once wrote a song, you know, we won't be fooled again.
Yeah.
Well, we won't be fooled again here in Israel. And we know that the best defense is a good offense. And that's how we have to fight this war. You know, so, you know something, Jesse Lee, the last war that there were two wars that have been won in the previous century. One was World War II, and the second one was the Six-Day War in Israel. And World War II, we all know about.
Right.
But why were those wars won? Because both the Allies in World War II and Israel in the Six-Day War understood that the best defense is a good offense. And that's why we won those wars. That's why those wars were won by the free world. So today, too, you know, we got to get out of the Vietnam syndrome and the Afghanistan syndrome and fight wars to win. There is such a thing as good and evil in the world. I taught my children as they were growing up that there is good and there is evil.
Yeah.
And there's no truth is not relative. So it's up to us to not just to teach our children that, not just to preach to them, but to play it out in our own lives. We have to strive to be good. And how do we know to be good? We follow God's directive.
Yeah.
As laid out in his holy Torah, in his Bible. And if we do that, then things will be good. But we have to fight against the evil. We're not supposed to hate evil people, but we're supposed to hate evil.
Right. I noticed that Israel has given up land after time, given over land to the Muslim people and all that. And yet it doesn't seem to be enough for the Muslim. It's like they want to destroy Israel, like push them in the ocean or something, right? Is this going to ever win? I mean, is this going to ever be over? Because Israel is not going to give in anymore. They are going to defend themselves. This fight with the Muslim world and Israel, will this ever end?
Well, eventually it will. Eventually it's going to end.
How will it end?
We believe that it's going to end.
How?
It's going to end if we do the right thing. It's going to end if we stop placating them and placating those who want to destroy us. I agree with you. This giving away of land, you know, we're a country about the size of New Jersey. I mean, you can't see it from the view behind me, but we're a country that is about the size of New Jersey.
Right.
Okay, a very small state. Right? And you know, so the whole idea of us giving away land to people who are trying to kill us is absolutely preposterous. It's
right.
Absurd. It
yep.
makes no sense at all.
Yep.
So, you know, if we really believe that that giving away land works, well, all we have to do is look at October 7th, when 1,200 Israeli civilians were massacred by Hamas terrorists who were given Gaza. Israel was in Gaza. We had beautiful communities in Gaza.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, and if you look back in history, you know, there was a guy named Samson who lived in Gaza. So, you know, when you give it away, you give it away to your enemies. So they're going to use it against you. So
yeah.
So they took all of these beautiful agricultural communities, all these agricultural settlements that Israel had established where you know all kinds of innovative agricultural techniques were being used. People from around the world were coming to see what we were doing there. And we withdrew from there with the hope of peace. You know, it's made no sense at all. I didn't agree with it. I didn't support it. But it made no sense. But it was done. It was done. And just where there were agricultural communities, exactly on those spots, that's where they set up the rocket launchers. That's where Hamas and Islamic Jihad set up their rocket launchers. And they've been firing rockets at Israel ever since.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So we see, and today, a clear majority of Israelis understand that you just can't placate those who are trying to kill you. It makes no sense. It's as if Theodore Roosevelt and Harry Truman would have just said, "Well, we're going to let the Nazis have we'll give them some territory. We'll instead of insisting that we decide the end of the war, how it's going to be arranged with the transfer of populations and the moving of territorial boundaries, which is what the Allies did in order to create peace." And if they had said, "Well, we're going to let the Nazis have a little piece of land. We'll give the Nazis their own state, their own independent state. Wouldn't that be nice? We'll call it the two-state solution. We'll have a Nazi state and a Polish state or a Swiss state standing side by side in peace." I mean, you know, we hear this all the time.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous slogans that have no basis in reality.
What a mess. I want to ask, over here in America, in my country, they have allowed the Muslim to move into my country, and they are involved in government here and everything now. And now the Muslim are chanting death to America and death to Israel. And I never imagined for a second, and I'm black and slow, and I never imagined that one day our government will bring our enemies into our country and allow them to chant death to America and get away with it, not ship them out, not lock them up or anything. Are you surprised that America is allowing the enemy to shout death to America in America?
Well, look, I actually think you're a lot sharper than you claim to be. That's what they say. That's what they've been saying for years. Death to America, death to Israel.
Right.
You know, the little Satan and the big Satan, as they call us. Okay? Or when they preach in their mosques, and their mosques in America also, by the way, when they preach in their mosques, they say, "First, we're going to get the Saturday people and then the Sunday people."
Yeah.
But what does that mean? Okay, they're talking about the Jews who keep the Sabbath on Saturday and the Christians who keep it on the Sunday. They know exactly what they're saying. You know, it's time people start listening to them.
Yep.
Instead, you know, they burn American flags on American college campuses.
Right.
And then everyone says, "Well, they really just want peace. They just want to have the freedom for the Palestinians, you know, from the river to the sea," as they say.
Yeah.
You know, you see them marching through the streets in America and shouting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Well, where's the river? Do they know? Where's the sea? Do they know? Well, the Muslim radicals know. But most of those ignorant left-wing youth on college campuses, they don't know what it is. They don't know that the sea is the Mediterranean Sea, where the Arab countries have threatened to make all the Jews go into the sea. And the river is the Jordan River on the eastern side of Israel. So those are Israel's current borders. So obviously, if they want Palestine, something called Palestine, to be free, so that means that it would be at Israel's expense. Well, we're not going into the sea. Sorry, you so-called Palestinians. And, you know, and I challenge anyone who says to me that they want to have a Palestinian state, you know, I'd like to know, you know, where do they get this Palestinian state nonsense from? Do they know where the word Palestine comes from? Do they know that it was created by the Romans and that there were no Arabs around, you know, in Israel at that time? Do they know that that the Romans called it Palestina to wipe out the presence of Israel from the map? And do they know that the Arabs didn't adopt the term Palestinians until 1964, because they were having a pretty hard time destroying Israel, so they decided to create this so-called indigenous people and say, this is our land, we're the indigenous Palestinians. But the only indigenous people here are the Jews, because we're the ones who trace our heritage back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who lived and are buried here in the land of Israel.
Amazing. Are you surprised, as I am, that my government, my own government in America, would bring their enemies into the country and allow them to chant death to America, would allow them to burn the flag, the American flag, and then hold up the Palestinian flag right here in our country and do nothing about it? Are you surprised at my government?
Well, look, people have had a lot of confusion in America about immigration and what it means. You know, immigrants made America great in many ways, and you know, but if immigrants come and they want to become Americans, and they want to adopt American values, and they want to work hard, and they want to respect the American flag and respect the American heritage, well, that's a good thing. It's good for the country. But if immigrants come to the United States and they dare to burn an American flag and they dare to shout out death to America, that's insane. That's insane. It's insane that any American government would allow that. It's confusion about the meaning of immigration. Immigration means you come and you become a part of the country. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret, Jesse, that I haven't mentioned yet in this show. I came to Israel about 32 years ago. I was born and raised in the United States. And my grandparents came to the United States, and they only wanted to be full-fledged Americans. That was what they came for. They were hardworking people. That's what America needs.
Yeah.
Hardworking people who adopt American values.
Yeah.
And anyone who speaks against America like those Muslim radicals, they should be thrown out of the country and sent back to those 20-some Arab states that we have here in the Middle East. I don't think America should take them in.
And frankly,
I don't tell Americans that they should take all of these terrorists from Gaza. I think the Arab countries have the responsibility to take them in, not the United States and not Europe.
Amazing. Let me take a quick break, David, and when I come back, we'll wind this up. I have a couple questions from the listener to you. Back in a moment. 888-77-JESSE. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she would do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women too when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, welcome back. 888-775-3773. I'm going to get to your calls here in a minute. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com. The guy with the good hair. And at 11 a.m., right after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time, and at 4 p.m., the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. I'm talking with David Rubin, and David is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's an author and the founder and president of Shiloh Israel Children Fund. David, can you tell the people how they can help and how to help with the Children Fund?
Sure. The Children's Fund was started after the terror attack when I was wounded, and there were so many other terrorist attacks, and we saw the trauma in the children. So the website to go to is israelchildren.org. It's that simple. israelchildren.org. People can find out more about what we do, and they can donate online.
Right on. So I have a couple questions, then we have to run here. Someone want to know, let's see here. Is it true that, I got to find it now. Oh, God. I can't find it, David. They said.
Okay. Well, we could skip that question.
Yeah. What was the question that they asked about American helping Israel or something?
Oh, is it the should about interests?
Yeah.
Okay, I see it right here. It reads, should America's interests be Israel's interests?
Well, in that's a good question. In many ways, it is the same interest. Obviously, Israel is a country, an independent country, and we have our interests. The United States has its interests. The thing is, though, we are the front line against the radical Muslim terrorism. And they, as you said, Jesse, they make it very clear. They say, first we're going to get the Saturday people, then the Sunday people.
Yeah.
Or in other words, death to Israel and death to America. Well, why do you think they say that? Do you think that that they're planning to just fight against Israel? No, we're the front lines. They're going to fight against us first. And then once they defeat us, God forbid, then they're going to get to America. And you know, why do you think that Iran has been developing long range international intercontinental ballistic missiles. Why are they developing those missiles if not to reach another continent? Their goal is to hit America, okay? But right now they're busy with us, so they're not attacking America so fast.
Amazing.
So but they would like to. They would like to.
Oh, yeah, we'd be
saying, so in that case, our interests are the same.
Yeah.
When it comes to fighting against our enemies and fighting for freedom, our interests are definitely the same.
So here's another question. Is it true that the European gave the Jews Israel?
Europeans?
Yeah, that's what they asked here.
Well, actually, God gave the people of Israel Israel. It's written very clearly in the book of Exodus, in the book of Genesis, and you know, those who've never read those books, well, I would recommend that they do.
Yeah.
But in terms of modern history, Israel fought for its modern state of Israel. The British colonialists were in control. They were given control by the League of Nations in 1917. And you know, we tried to establish our country, and they didn't agree, and we drove them out of the country, basically. The Brits, and actually similar to the United States in that way.
Yeah.
And Israel declared its modern state of Israel, modern sovereignty, in 1948. But we drove out the British. We had to kick them out of our country in order to establish that state of Israel. So it's actually the opposite of what the caller was suggesting.
And then one final question here. This person said, I believe Israel government bring in their enemies to try to get rid of Netanyahu. Is that true?
That the Israeli government is trying to bring in?
They bring in their enemies to try to get rid of Netanyahu.
Well, look, we do have a problem here in Israel, similar to a problem that you have in America with the radical left. You know, that the far left in the United States really isn't very patriotic. They're trying to bring down the country as a Judeo-Christian civilization. We have some radical leftists here in Israel who don't believe in the Jewish heritage, who think that they own the country. So we have some problems here also with the radical secular left, and there are some of those who have what I would call Netanyahu derangement syndrome, which is similar to Trump derangement syndrome. There are a lot of parallels there.
Yeah,
but look, I don't think Netanyahu is perfect. He's made a lot of huge mistakes, but I think as far as running this war, I think he's doing a pretty good job, and he's navigating a very difficult situation.
Well, my dream team is Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin. That's my dream team.
Okay, well, that's good. We'll see how that one plays out. That'll be interesting.
One last question, then I gotta run. I noticed that in America, some white people blame the Jews for everything, in the same way that the blacks blame the whites and so on and so on. What do you say to the whites who say the Jews own everything, the Jews control everything, and the Jews want to bring down? I never understood why Jews would be liberal. I don't get that yet. But I know they're liberal Jews. But they blame the Jews for everything that's bad. What do you say to those people?
Okay, first of all, as far as the Jews being liberal, in order to understand that phenomenon, that sad phenomenon in America, I think you have to read my book, Trump and the Jews, okay, which anyone can get by going to Amazon, Trump and the Jews.
Okay.
I have two chapters in there that explain the sad phenomenon of liberal American Jews. Fortunately, in America, there are also Orthodox Jews who are much more conservative and vote conservative as well. As far as Jews being successful, successful in business, successful in various professions, everything that the Jews achieved, we achieved through hard work and sweat and despite persecution. Okay, those are the facts. Anyone who wants to learn a little bit of history will understand that. Instead of being jealous of those who have succeeded, learn from their success.
Absolutely.
Okay, hard work, the traditional family, and the emphasis on education. Those are the three winning formulas, to success.
I agree. I tell the whites that. I'm like, instead of being mad and jealous of the Jews, why don't you go and ask them how they do it? How are you guys so successful? And I say the same thing to the blacks. Instead of being mad at the whites and jealous of the whites, why don't you go and ask them how do they succeed? What's the key? How do you succeed in life? And that way they can do it too if they learn how to do it. You're absolutely right about that.
You got it. And it's not a racial issue.
Right.
But it is an issue of values.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you work hard and you have the support of your family and your parents or even one parent, you know, I remember hearing the, you know, Ben Carson's story about how he got to where he is. Hard work, a mother who insisted that he work hard and kept those values straight and a belief in God.
Yeah.
Those are the winning values.
I agree.
It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what ethnic background you are.
Are you happy that Trump is back?
Oh yes, I'm very happy.
Me too.
He's back. He's got. I'm also very happy with his appointments. He's putting together a really solid team of professionals who are loyal to his agenda, and I think I think this time he's really going to succeed.
Yes.
And he's going to succeed three times as well as he succeeded the first time around.
Absolutely. Ever since the Great White Hope's been back, David, I've been dancing on the ceiling. I can feel it in the air. It's everywhere. So tell the folks again how to get your book, how to help your organization, and whatever else information you want to put out there.
Okay. Well, as far as my books, I mean, I have written 7 books. But I did mention Trump and the Jews, and of course there are others. And if the viewer wants to purchase a copy, they just go to davidrubinisrael.com. David Rubin, RUBIN, Israel.com. They can find out about all my books there. And to help the Shiloh Israel, here I'm using the Hebrew pronunciation, but it's spelt like Shiloh, the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund and all of our projects for the terror victim children in Israel, they can just go to israelchildren.org or .com also. But Shiloh Israel... Children's Fund, israelchildren.org is the website.
Right on. David, thanks again for coming on. It's good to see you, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. It was a pleasure.
And don't forget my dream team. Trump.
You got it.
Netanyahu and Putin. Thank you, man.
Okay.
All right.
Good to see you.
You too. Amazing. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go quickly to the phones here. Let me go to our Jerome out of New Jersey. Has been waiting a long time. Jerome, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how are you today?
All is well, Jerome.
Okay. I was calling about the clip that you had posted yesterday about the 68-year-old woman and the 27-year-old man. You asked people to comment on it.
Oh, yeah. What a mess.
I don't think so. I would definitely date that woman.
You would?
Absolutely. She was beautiful in the video, but they showed her, you know, they showed the woman full body. That's a beautiful woman.
But she old.
That don't matter. She don't look it.
But she's too old for a 26. She's like grandma.
No, that's like she said, she's childlike and he's mature.
No, when she says she's childlike, I think it means senile.
She didn't seem. I mean, I date older women all the time, so I would definitely date her.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you, Jerome. I appreciate it, man.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Let me go to Adrian. Ardeen out of Colorado. Ardeen.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I want to actually say I've called you before, and we've really never agreed with anything. But I do agree with you on one thing, with the education.
Yes.
I was actually years had to quit because I'm actually going blind. But I was Volunteers of America working as a foster grandparent. And I dealt with children every day in the public school system. And I first had experience. And I know, I mean, I could see where the problem lies. The problem actually lies with the way the parents are bringing up their children. People use the public schools as a daycare. And the teachers there, in defense of the teachers, they're not there to rear your children moral values. They shouldn't be there. They should be there for the academic part.
Right, to educate
the
children.
That is part of our job.
What do you think about the fact that
we dealt with?
What do you think about, because of time, what do you think about the fact that mothers don't love children anymore, their children?
I think mothers love children. I see it. I saw it every day.
No, they don't. Because if they love their children, they would stay home and watch over the children. They would educate them at home. But the mothers want to be like the man. They want to go out and work.
No. What has happened is the economic situation of our country makes it for a two-income family.
No,
that's
if they weren't trying to have everything, the father can work two jobs, but they're trying to be like the Joneses, and they're putting their egos before the children. They don't have to try to have the same size house.
This is what I saw. I saw parents, mother and father, coming into the school for a public teacher conference, higher than a kite, tweaking like crazy.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there as a mother and father, drug addict, raising children. They have no right to have the blessings of a child.
Yeah, amazing. You know what? I got to run.
Destroying children.
Call me again. Because of time, I got to run. Call me again, okay?
You're running again.
Yeah, call me tomorrow. We'll play a little longer. Thank you. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super, super.
Super chats.
over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Gregatron answers, Jesse, I have the answer to your biblical question.
Did you find God or did he find you?
The answer is neither. I'm waiting on God and he's waiting on me. Hassan could have told you that.
Waiting on God, he waiting on you. Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Five coffees from Jamil, Jesse, and crew. Since we're coming up on the end of the year, I wanted to share my favorite advice from Bond. Number one, the internal struggle is not your fight. Don't fight it nor run away from it. Leave it to God.
Yep.
Number two, I wish this was the biblical question every week. Did you shake in your boots? Dealing with fear in all things, big and small.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and it's been an amazing year.
Amazing learning, too. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Thank you, Jamil. Truth for Jesus. All astronauts just happen to be Freemasons, if you're white. Them spacemen is all in that club, if you're black. Flat Earth is real. Thanks, Jesse. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Stay with it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Isaiah, the Uber driver, 10 coffees for the 50K. Also, I recommend such and such for the fallen state.
Right.
Emailed your producers already as well.
Right on. Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Isaiah.
It. Thank you for your support.
Someone bought 5 coffees. Hello, sir. The testimony of the young man on the call yesterday who wanted to commit suicide made everything you've been saying so clear.
Yeah.
Everything is spiritual. Thank you for what you do, sir. And if it matters to some, I'm a black male.
Right on. He black. If you didn't hear that call yesterday from Canada, you should listen to it. It was amazing. And it was an amazing testimony how to overcome once you forgive and take control of your own life. It was amazing. Thank you very much. You're right.
Pastor Chatelet with a rumble rant. Forgive others, for by the same measure we forgive, so shall our Father in heaven see and forgive us. Correct.
Absolutely. If you forgive the failures of others, your Father in heaven would also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failures. Amazing. Thank you.
Tarrant, Matthew 6:14-15. Bible thumping.
Bible thumping Thursday.
Tarantula, do you believe there should be a movement designed to support men's rights, like feminism, but not evil?
No. I just think men need to wake up and be men, overcome mama spirit, and become a man. The power is already in the man. Look at Donald Trump. The power is in the man. He doesn't need a movement. He just needs to wake up, return to the Father. Amazing. Thank you.
A very generous rumble rant from Celestial Lord.
Well, thank you.
Biblical question.
Did you find God or did he find you?
I found God because I was lost in darkness all my life. I was lost and didn't know I was lost, but the voice of God was always looking for me, but I didn't recognize because I forgot who I was.
Very interesting. I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday. Very interesting, though.
Thank you, Celestial Lord.
Yeah, thanks.
Someone bought 5 coffees. Hello, sir. Oh, I already said that one. Joey bought 5 coffees. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for teaching us to have a no-thinking life from Joe and Casey.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for your support. And a perfect life is a no-thinking life. For real. I'm telling you the truth. All right. Thank you.
Jack Bennett, 20 coffees. Trump 2024 and 2028. American flags, the second greatest comeback in the history after Jesus.
Trump forever. Trump forever. I want Trump to be like Putin. I want him to be president forever. Amazing. Thank you.
Someone bought a coffee. Jesse, what's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks?
I'm black too. Blacker than black. Been wanting to call, can't find the time. Called back in 2020, and that one call changed everything. I dropped my anger. I became Christian. Was Muslim for 8 years prior to this. Forgave my parents, gained custody of my son and daughter.
Right on.
Fighting in court with the kid's mom, whom for multiple reasons was unfit. When I finally gave up, boom, it all worked out in my favor.
Absolutely.
Question is,
absolutely.
As a single father, how do I avoid public schools when I don't have a wife or girlfriend to stay home with my kids?
Maybe you can find a homeschool program in your area where you can keep an eye on the kids. But there are good homeschool programs out there, so I suggest look for that rather than having to send them to a public school.
I'm a truck driver, can't stay home, so it's hard to stay home with them homeschooling. Right. Help a brother out. Love you all.
Yeah, see if you can find a local homeschool program. If not, you may have to put them in the public schools, but keep an eye on them. Make sure you communicate with them. Amazing. Thank you.
Three coffees from White Matthew towards the challenge, Grant. Thanks emoji. Merry Christmas to Jesse and crew. Why don't the Jews celebrate Christmas, Jesse?
Because they have Hanukkah. Chris, thank you for your support, though. Thanks.
Chris Circa bought a coffee. Santa is real, and he will be coming down my chimney.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Nice. Thank you.
Superfluity of Naughtiness says, say no to Judeo-Christian concept. Say yes to Christianity. The Jews were behind the killing of our Lord and are contrary to Christianity.
What? No. That's amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for the coffee. Another one from him. Please, Superfluity of Naughtiness says, here in the USA, we don't need any more Muslim influence nor Jewish influence. Come on, man.
What? Make sure you love. Don't hate. Love. Amazing.
Someone bought a
coffee. If there wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. You can mark my word on that. Amazing.
Someone says the situation in Israel is not for women. And we forgot to open the treasure chest, so we're going to open the treasure chest now.
Is open on D-Li. Thank you.
And shout out to Games for Rec, Olaf, something. I don't want to dox him entirely. 555555555565, and the rest of Wolf336, and the rest of the supporters on the D Live crew. We're opening the chest now. And thank you guys. It's all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all so much. Man, time has come and gone. The time has come when we must leave you. I hate to come and go. To my friends and relation, we're out of time. Tomorrow is Friday. It'll be open line Friday. Get it off your chest Friday. The Hake Report is coming now. TheHakeReport.com. And then at 11 a.m., right after The Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. And then The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m., I think. I'm not sure if he's doing a show today. He has an appointment. So I'm not sure. He'll see. We'll let you know. All right. The American Anchor Baby at 4. To the callers, John, the first-time caller out of New York, and the callers that are dropping right now, I'm out of time. Bye. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at RebuildingTheMan.com.